Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we are, JK.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga will remain a Warrior, .. for now. But if you're just joining us, Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors have agreed to terms. They will not make it to deadline day, and it is not on the qualifying offer. Jonathan chooses, with a little extra money sprinkled in, a two-year deal with a team option for year two, which means it's really a one-plus-one. This is a one-year guaranteed deal with a Warriors option for year two at $48.5 million. Year one is $23 million. I need to ask some people out there, maybe send some text messages here in a little bit, but my understanding is in keeping that year one contract at $23 million, it does leave the Warriors some control over their 15th and final roster spot, which has been rumored to be ready for Seth Curry. Not Steph Curry, Seth Curry. And I was very hopeful that he is going to be on the team, and so we'll see. We'll see about that. But we're taking your calls right now. The JK Experience has finally got an answer. Both sides are in agreement that it is likely that come January, when eligible, Jonathan will be a part of trade discussions. So that doesn't change, but what does change, the threat of the qualifying offer and everybody being as angry as all get out, that's not going to happen. We also don't get the tension of the final day and the marching toward midnight Eastern tomorrow. We get training camp opening and Jonathan Kuminga is on the team at $23 million this year. For me, and this isn't about, I don't want to do who won the deal, because I think that in the end, what I'm worried about is Warrior fans, and I think that this is as good of a conclusion as we can get right now. But I do want to say that I think the Warriors, in the end, did a great job here, because there were two things that they really, really were after, I think. One is control. That option needed to be a team option. It maximizes his trade value, and the Warriors were firm on that. And the second thing is, we know Joe Lacob has been out somewhat in the public saying it. The second thing is, they absolutely, unequivocally had to avoid the idea of losing Jonathan Kuminga for nothing. And this deal checks both of those boxes. So in the end, I think the Warriors, they did a good job in finding something that works for them in what was obviously a very challenging situation.
Yeah, and I think that Aaron Turner, the agent, did a great job, and I want to personally thank him up front and just say...
Why?
Because the deal got done today. If the deal got done yesterday was already an unbelievable bleep show of emotion and topics with Melvin... And
the Niners lost.
And the Warriors media day.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday where we're starting to put Jacksonville in the rear view. There's playoff baseball, but I can't even watch it because I'm so nauseous. And Buster Posey, he spent a day doing nothing. So yeah, you got it done on the Tuesday. Attaboy, Aaron Turner. And I also look at what they got. And I mentioned this to you last week or the week before. If I was Turner and Kuminga, this is what I would have aimed for, because at the very worst, and it's not the worst because you're going to get $48.5 million, but if the Warriors have you for a year, they don't trade you, and they pick up your option, and you have to play there for 2 years, and you don't get to cook, and you get what you get, which is sporadic minutes. You get $48.5 million, and at that point, you are unrestricted, and you can put the deuces up, and you're gone. But the reality of the situation is your $23 million, which is on the books now, is so covetous and tradable that
yes.
you are likely to get dealt. And I'm just looking at the list. DeMar DeRozan makes 24.5. Kyle Kuzma's making 22. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is making 21.
Yep.
Marcus Smart's making the same. These are all guys on limited deals who are wow. veterans, and we can play who fits the best later, but if you don't think Kuminga is the dude, there's a small list of guys who make about what he makes who you might like more than the way you like Kuminga.
Well, I know you love this reference. You know when Bob Barker on Price is yep. Right used to do hole-in-one or two? Yeah, same thing here. They've got two chances to trade Jonathan Kuminga. It's this February, and in theory, the February after that, if it weren't to happen. And at that point, Jonathan would not just be a bendable contract at about $25 million. He would also be an expiring deal.
It could be a sign and trade at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of options here. And again, what I know the Warriors really, really were against was the idea of losing the asset. I hate calling players assets, but losing the asset for nothing. And now this gives them, in theory, two winters, if needed, to find the right deal and help the current core of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. I'm sure the Warriors and Jonathan would probably want that this time around versus next time around. I think that there's a lot of room for feelings to come back up if you do that. But in theory, the Warriors keep the team option on a two-year deal. Jonathan will make a lot of money. Hopefully he plays and plays great and fits and all of that. But that's kind of for another day and a whole nother month and a whole nother life, quite frankly. Most importantly, what the Warriors now have is an incredibly movable contract that will be coveted by other teams around the league.
Yeah, especially if you're a team that wanted him before. And I mentioned DeMar DeRozan, who's making just a tick more, and he's got a two-year deal. So if you're in this two-year Steph Curry window, I don't know how much you think DeMar DeRozan fits because he's more of a high-volume scorer, but the dude can score. So if he is your sixth man and he's able to come in your backcourt and be a scorer, that might be somebody you could be interested in. Sacramento has already been open about liking Jonathan Kuminga. We heard the agent talk about B.J. Armstrong reaching out to them. B.J., of course, now working for Sacramento. So there are many of these dominoes that are going to fall, and much of this topic that we can get into down the road. But for now, if you want to talk about who won the deal, I think the Warriors won it in a slightly greater way because now they're almost guaranteed to not lose the asset for nothing. If they have him here for 2 years, and after 2 years they don't get anything for Kuminga, well, that's on the Warriors even more so than it would have been. But now they've got the control. They've got control of Kuminga. They can trade him in January. You mentioned they can trade him in July. They can trade him the following January. And they can do a number of different things to make sure they recoup something. Ideally, Kuminga plays great and you win the championship this year.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
I mean, that's what everyone's hoping for.
Listen, after everything that all of this has all been through, I kind of want to avoid the whole who won the deal thing. I get where you're coming from, but I just kind of want to know how people feel about the final answer, which we now have. Jonathan stays for now, two-year deal. $48.5 million, team option for year two. It's a one-year guarantee at $23 million. It leaves room for the 15th roster spot. That might be Seth Curry. We'll see. But Warrior fans, how do you feel about the answer where we have arrived? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now and throughout the afternoon here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. We also want to bring to this party the commentary that many of you may have missed, and it came from the Warriors at Media Day yesterday. And as Dibbs said, it kind of got largely swallowed up because the Niners had just lost a frustrating game. The quarterback's hurt again. Bo Mel has been fired. And so we just didn't get to a lot of this, but it's still interesting, even though we now have our final answer. And that is Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler talking about the situation that Jonathan Kuminga at that time was in. So let's start with this. Here's what Steph said, his message to Kuminga was.
Negotiations are hard. We all know that. The idea of everybody's situation is a little different. Everybody can come up with whatever narrative they want to. It's how business kind of goes. You know, some things are pretty straightforward, some things aren't. This is definitely in the aren't conversation or category. But when he comes and he's here, he should be a professional and do it exactly what he expects to do and take advantage of his opportunities to help us win. Like, everybody who's in the locker room, that's what you're committed to do. And so I don't have any concerns that he'll approach it that way. And that's what we expect.
Okay. I think that's the next important question. And I actually have a pretty high level of confidence on that, which is that this is kind of a deal that I would hope allows for, at least on the temporary sense, it allows for the locker room to stay okay. It allows for Jonathan to come in and be working for a team goal as opposed to an individual goal. Still have concerns. No question, because this is tough now. Let's not make it sound easy.
I have no concerns about
okay,
that.
That's fine.
I mean,
because
Kuminga's never, in my eyes, he's never played like he has individual goals. And if he was on the qualifying offer, I would worry about that. But now that he's got this deal and he's making $23 million, I don't think that it does him any good to play in that fashion.
I would argue that, and I would bet you $1 billion that in a private room, Steve Kerr would tell you that he absolutely plays sometimes with individual goals in mind. That's the problem. That's the problem that they've had. And so now he's being paid, and they all know the agreement is to kind of kick the can down the road, but this doesn't change anything. Jonathan is not like, yay, I'm a Warriors now. Like, if Jonathan wanted to really be a Warrior, he'd have signed a three-year deal. But he signed a two-year deal, so I hear what you're saying. I think it's challenging because Jonathan is still going to be thinking about who he thinks he can be, maximizing his value. I don't blame him for these things. It's hard to achieve that in limited minutes on a team that wants you to maybe play in a little bit of a different fashion. It's challenging. I'm not saying it's not doable, but it's very challenging. As you all know, Aaron Turner, Kuminga's agent, came on for a long time with Steiny and Goo. And there was the implication that Jonathan plays better when he gets the minutes and will play better if he gets the contract that he wants. Steph had something he wanted to say about that.
When his agent comes out and says, you know, if we get the contract we want, we'll be committed to doing everything we can to win a championship, what is your reaction to something like that and the idea of like conditional commitment?
I only listen to my teammate. I don't listen to agents or anybody who's speaking on behalf. Like, I hear that from JK.
What have you heard from JK?
He'll be committed when he gets here. I just know from man to man, he doesn't want to have to be in the way of anything. So let that situation play out. He can speak for himself.
Okay.
Love to hear that.
That's a phenomenal answer.
Which is hilarious because Steph Curry hears everything. He's the petty king.
Right.
So
right.
I have no doubt that he listened to every single second of that interview, but that's the correct answer. I don't listen to anybody other than my teammates.
Yep.
So when his teammate gets in, and hopefully it's tomorrow or I don't know when it will be, I'm sure there'll be conversations about, you know, with Draymond and probably not Jimmy because Jimmy's not.
Jimmy was basically like, I don't even want to.
Jimmy's like, where's Buddy? I feel like teasing somebody. Steph and Draymond, I'm sure in a, you know, player to player conversation will be like, okay, you know it's not ideal, but if you want the best for you and the best for us, they're the same thing, which is you go out and you play and you do what you do. And the question was a fair one. I do think that the agent, not that he misspoke, but what he was trying to say is if Kuminga gets regular minutes, then he is going to be better at all these things. The way it came out was if he plays, he'll rebound.
Right.
And if he doesn't play, he won't rebound.
I mean, well, he was also talking about the past. Like he pointed to data where he's like, if you notice that when he gets 25 minutes, then he plays hard. And I was like, ooh, good Lord. Do you realize what you're saying right now? It's a terrible look. And I'm with you. I don't think he meant it to come out that way, but it clearly did.
That's the way it came out.
It clearly did.
Yep.
All right. We'd love to hear from you, Jay, in San Jose, first up. 888-957-9570. What is your reaction? How are you feeling as a fan with this final kind of reality to the JK situation? A two-year deal, $48.5 million. It's a team option for year two. $23 million for year one, and JK stays for now. Jay in San Jose. Hi, Jay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So my conversation is more about the narrative at first was that Kuminga doesn't fit now that we got Jimmy Butler. If he doesn't fit then and we still got Jimmy now, why is it all of a sudden that ain't the conversation? If they had to go behind closed doors and say, if you sign this contract, 2 years, team option, why won't you just say, we're going to trade you right after that? You make yourself more tradable. So now going into, you know, media day, everything is smooth.
Well, Jay, I think it is that.
And now is as if, does he fit now?
Well, I don't think that – so here – it's a fair question. I still don't think it has an answer. I can tell you because we've talked about this so much and talked to Steve so much about it. And, Jay, stay on. I'd love for your reaction to this. I think the Warriors would tell you that whether or not JK can now fit is still a question that they couldn't really get an answer to in a short period of time. Jimmy's on the team. They're playing very well. Jonathan comes back from injury. They try to jam him in there and make it work. The team kind of starts playing worse, so they get to the playoffs and feel like we don't have any more time to experiment with this. I think they'd like more time to experiment with it, and they now have a little bit more time and less high leverage moments. So that's point one. But your other point about a trade, like that's still very much out there. We're not kidding ourselves. The reason the Warriors did this deal was not because he now fits. It's because this is the best way for them to hold on to the asset and see if they can try to get something for him on the market down the road. What do you think, Jay?
I'm just sick of the narrative as if every time Steve Kerr says something a certain way, we got to run with it as if we're not educated basketball people. I've never heard someone say your best player or most athletic player, young and talented, don't fit because you got another person. You figure it out. So now we transfer to the DNPs and we giving them benefits of the doubt because whatever. But let's go back to the Olympics. Look at Jason Tatum out on the court. This guy is a hard worker, don't cause trouble with nobody. First day, DNP. Steve Kerr tried to say, oh, we didn't know, we forgot. Then he do it again, and then he tried to say, oh, it was a matchup problem. What I'm trying to say is there's a certain type of player that Steve Kerr just doesn't like, and we try to feed it as if it's all about basketball.
Yeah, Jay,
what
listen,
is that type of player, I wonder? Jay?
I mean, Jay, you're basically saying that he doesn't like athletic wings? Is that what you're getting at? All right, Jay's non-responsive.
Yeah, as far as the fit goes, I do believe that there is credence to the discussion about having some lead time and some practice time, yep, and the ability to try it out in, I don't know, October in preseason games and early in the season. And if you look at when Jimmy came and JK wasn't there, by the time Jonathan Kuminga came back, he didn't get DNPs, by the way, right away.
Not at all.
And I'm looking at the log here. It was 20, 20, 27, 23. He played minutes. He played basketball games, and Jimmy Butler was out there. So they got to look at it, and then you got into that high leverage spot, and they didn't feel like he was the right fit for those games and those combinations.
Yeah, and I really – look, there's going to be high-level disagreement here. I do not think that Steve Kerr – doesn't like a certain type of basketball player. Like when Jay says, and I always, you hear this from everybody, he's your most athletic player. Figure it out. Well, who's that on? Who's that on? Who needs to figure it out? Because there is absolutely a give and take here. Do the Warriors want JK on the floor? Well, in a lot of situations they do. But figure it out also means you need to play a certain way. The offense goes through Steph Curry, and when Steph Curry's not there, it goes through Jimmy Butler. And does Jonathan see the court and want to do that? The answer is not always, and that's a fact. You can go look at video. You can look at the analytics. That's a fact. Is that all on Jonathan? It's not all on Jonathan. But this isn't about Steve not liking a certain type of player, and it's not about that kind of player, an athletic player, doesn't fit. It's often about what the Warriors are doing, what their approach is, and then what that player, what decisions that player makes when he gets onto the floor. And I don't even hold this against him. He's 22, and he's trying to maximize his value. That's what human beings do.
And when he played before Jimmy came, he was given license to play a certain way.
Absolutely.
He was basically your number two scorer, and he was able to go out there and cook. And when Jimmy came and he got healthy, it was no longer go cook, because when you get into ISO, Jimmy Butler is better than almost anybody in the league at that. So now Kuminga had to be a different player, and that doesn't fit what he does.
And the bottom line, no matter what everyone wants, because everyone's trying to rewrite history on this, this is just true. When Jimmy arrived, the Warriors got better. And whether or not the Warriors had a winning record with Jonathan before Jimmy, and then they had a losing record with that, the bottom line is, prior to Jimmy, they weren't good enough, and then after Jimmy, they were. That's it. And yes, it's unfortunate that Jonathan was hurt when that happened. But like, to ask the Warriors to stop doing what they were doing, which was the first thing that had been working at a high level in like a year and a half, is crazy talk. It was working.
Right.
So you keep going, and you try to put Jonathan in. That didn't help it. Okay, now we're in the playoffs. What do you do? Is DNP a little heavy-handed? Sure, you make that case if you want, but I get it. You know, it's like a starting pitcher in game seven. You gave up a run, you're out. Like, we don't have time for this.
In the playoffs, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you got Butler, like you said, your team changed, you got better, you started winning, and Kuminga came back, and even his agent said, you know, when JK came back, he wasn't at 100%. Okay, I believe that. He had a severe ankle sprain that cost him 2 months. And so not only when he came back was he not used to playing with Jimmy Butler, he also wasn't 100%. And the role they were asking him to play was more of a 3-and-D guy. And I just was looking, Mark, he shot 14% from three after Jimmy came on the team. So if you're Kuminga, you're probably frustrated because that's not your game. And the game you want to play is not available, as you always like to say, because you had Jimmy and Steph, who were more the volume shooters. You needed Kuminga to be more of a Moses Moody type, and that doesn't really suit his game right now.
No question about it. 888-957-9570, Matt in San Rafael. Hi, Matt. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, guys. So first, glad I'm talking Dubs instead of Niners, because I'm very worried about Thursday. It's interesting because I've been a Kuminga sort of detractor for his entire career at the Warriors because he's so talented and has so much to bring, and I just keep seeing him sort of not getting to where he needs to be. But the more I've looked at it, the more I think that it's been the situation as well as him. Let me explain. When the Dubs would play him out of necessity, they would say, do this, which is not really kind of the Warriors way or the Kerr way. It's like, go score points because we've got injuries. You got to be the man. And it's got to feel great. And he loves it. And he's actually good at that as far as his game. And then all of a sudden they say, all right, now we need you to play within this scheme. And he's going, well, wait a minute. I'm good at this. I'm not good at the other thing. And it seems like I'm constantly being punished because I don't fit this square peg into your round hole the way you want me to. So now what I think has happened is the Dubs are like, look, we got to see if this is going to work, and we don't want to lose the asset. So phenomenal deal for the Dubs in that they have control. I read that he turned down a 3-year to maintain control. I think the Dubs are going to play training camp, maybe 20 games, see if he works, and if he doesn't, they move him and they get some assets for him instead of nothing. If he does work, which would be fantastic, what you have is a phenomenal player, potentially, who can not only maybe shoot some from the outside, not great, but man, if he can learn to slash and finish on a consistent basis and defend, he's going to bring an element to the Dubs that they haven't had. They just haven't had.
Matt, I agree. This is a good call. Thank you, Matt. I agree completely. However, there's a piece of this I still find a little far-fetched in this moment, which is that Jonathan will now come back. He'll play great within this system, and everybody will ride off into the sunset together, and Jonathan will want to stay. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
Because that's not what Jonathan wants. Jonathan wants to go try to be an all-star and a Hall of Famer, and that's wonderful. What a great goal. If he sees that himself, don't try to get in the way of others' goals. We'll see how this evolves, but Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't think Jonathan wants to wait until 2029 to give that a shot. And so hopefully he plays well in the near term. I still think everybody is going to be highly motivated to trade him as soon as possible.
And that's mid-January, according to Shams Charania. And there's more in the deal that we can get into on the other side. There's some interesting nuance. And also, Kuminga, before Butler, before the injury, he was darn close to playing the way he wanted to play, and I'll explain more of that on the other side as well.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, 888-957-9570, the number. We're continuing to take your calls. Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors have a deal. Two-year deal, $48.5 million, but year two is a team option. So how is this making you feel, Warrior fans? And I mentioned earlier that I thought this first-year deal means that the Warriors can now sign Seth Curry. Yes and no. The exact rule and how this is going to play out has been made clear, and we will pass that along to you next on Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, you do, JK.
No word yet on the rumor that Jonathan and his agent Aaron Turner told the Warriors 3 weeks ago, if Dibs can hit 16 of his first 20 picks, we'll sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if not, going back to this candy cane place.
After a Monday night double dib, not double dip, a double dip, got me to 16-3. Hi, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Hey, Joe, I like your contract. Where's my pen?
I don't know if he likes the contract, but he signed it.
Yep.
All right, we're going to stay on the phones. Warrior fans, the JK thing is complete. How does it make you feel? It is a two-year deal worth $48.5 million. Team option for year two. So it's only a one-year guarantee at 23. The 2 years and 45 was on the table for weeks. The Warriors sprinkled a few extra million in there, and Jonathan takes that. But the thought is that trade conversations will continue as the Warriors now have the hand to go do that, a very tradable contract, eligible for a trade come January. This is really important to understand. This is because I know we're all like you. When there's an NBA deal, you're like, okay, who's got an apron and who's got a luxury tax and who's got a penalty and all this stuff is very hard. So you got to wait till Bobby Marks weighs in until you really, really super understand what's going on. So here it is. And I know if you're like me, I was waiting to find out, okay, can Steph's little brother now be a Warrior? And the answer is no, but yes. So here's why. By signing Kuminga, I'm now reading directly from the information out there.
From Shams.
By signing Kuminga to a salary of $22.5 million this season, Golden State will still have the flexibility to use their $5.7 million taxpayer mid-level exception and sign two players to the veteran minimum. Those players are named Al Horford and De'Anthony Melton. GP2 already signed a one-year veterans minimum deal. Will Richard, the rookie second rounder, has also agreed to a deal. So that leaves a 15th roster spot open. Here's the info on that. The Warriors will not have the room to sign a 15th player to start the season because they are now just $2.03 million below the second apron. Therefore, that's not enough to get someone in on the minimum. They will be able to sign that 15th player, potentially Seth Curry, beginning November 15th. So essentially, there's probably, it feels like and sounds like, handshake agreement with Steph's little brother, Seth, to be on the team. You're just going to have to wait 2 or 3 weeks into the season. And then they can prorate that salary and fit it in as their 15th roster spot. So the Warriors will open the season. I don't know how many games they've played by November 15th, but in theory, maybe they get Seth Curry by mid-November, a little bit after the season starts.
Yeah, that way they can pay him roughly $2.03 million, or probably $2.0299, whatever the math pencils out to be. The veteran minimum is all derived based on how many years of service you have, and so they're definitely trying to thread a very, very tight needle to get all 15 signed. And if you have to wait till November 15th, well, the team also today signed Pat Spencer back on a two-way deal. Yeah. So part of the two-way can be you're here until November 15th in case we need you, and then you can two-way your way down to Santa Cruz and whatever you're going to do with that sort of a yo-yo situation. But, yeah, this is big, and it's big that Kuminga gets what he gets in the first year, and it allows you to still bring in another veteran, Seth Curry, it looks like. And so, you know, come mid-November, you're going to have your team. And even before that, you're going to have the majority of your team. And you've got a game on Sunday. I keep reminding people the preseason opener is Sunday. And so you're going to start to get to see actual basketball without having to worry about aprons and contracts.
Seth, we'll see you in New Orleans. Not to join the New Orleans Pelicans. That's where the Warriors will be on November 16th. 14 games into the season. They will already be underway. 14 games in, they will fly on November 15th or probably on November 14th after the game. They got to stay and play in San Antonio on the 12th and the 14th. Then they will head for New Orleans. And while they will say hello to Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole, maybe they will also say hello to Seth Curry, who can, at that time, officially join the team. So there you go.
Yep.
All right, and then the other thing we can do right now, and John Feliciano is going to join us still in 22 minutes because he and Dibs are at each other's throats, and they're in each other's DMs, and Feliciano wants to yell at Dibs about his Purdy take about Trevor Lawrence. So we're going to do that at 5, but we'll keep taking your phone calls on this. The other thing I think we can now do is, all right, what do you think about the Warrior offseason? Not just Kuminga. Like, now we've got our answers. And I know we thought we kind of had them all along, but it's all clear now. De'Anthony Melton's on the team. Al Horford's on the team. GP2's back. Will Richard is in. I think Seth Curry's going to join the team after 14 games. And Jonathan Kuminga will be on the team, at least until January. So that's the Warriors offseason. The team that never signed a free agent has finally signed some free agents. And now we know who's going to be on the roster and who's going to play ball for the Warriors this year.
Yeah, it's still feels like a very top-heavy team where you've got Steph and Jimmy making top 8 money in the association. And now Jonathan Kuminga becomes the 4th highest paid player behind Draymond Green. And after that, you've got old guys, Al Horford, recovering guys, Melton and GP2, and a bunch of pups, Gee and Quentin and Pods and TJD and Will Richard. I love Will Richard, but he's a rookie. Yep. So your team is very star heavy. And the one thing about Kuminga, I was reading from the Shams Charania piece, when Steph doesn't play, Kuminga's points per game goes up by almost 6 points a game.
I mean, you would think. So more minutes.
Yes, this to me becomes a big, it's Steph insurance in the short term. Now, if Steph's gone for a long time, you're screwed. Yep. But if Steph has to miss a couple of weeks, JK can play bigger minutes and do bigger things like he did against Minnesota.
Let's hear from some of you. 888-957-9570. Angry Vegan in Richmond is next up. Hi, Angry Vegan. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. I'm doing great. I'm glad this is finally resolved. The biggest reason I'm glad it's resolved is I've had to hear all summer, like, this eviscerating of Kerr and some of the other Warriors players. Like, why aren't they playing Kuminga? Why over these other guys? And it just flies in the face of facts. Like, I like to be excited about the future, and I think the short-term deal is good because I don't see Kuminga being part of it. if you look at every metric, and for some reason, Pajemski got a lot of this stick of like, oh, they're playing Pajemski over Kuminga. He's teacher's pet. Just for example, Pajemski's win shares, his plus minus was 260. Kuminga's was 6. And that's adjusting for minutes. It's for every metric, box plus minus, win shares by 48 minutes. It's always Jimmy Butler, Curry, Kuminga, Draymond, and even though they didn't play long enough, De'Anthony Melton. Those are the players that impact winning on the team. And the thing is, Pajewski played in the off the bench. He played starting lines just like Kuminga. And it's like the Warriors have a system. That's the way it is. And as athletic and entertaining as Kuminga is, I just don't see him fitting in with this system for at least a few years. And with these other players, Guy Santos actually does statistically way better than Kuminga. So I'm just glad that it's taken care of, and hopefully we trade him for someone good, and he has a great future.
Yeah,
but not with this team.
I think it's a smart call, Angry Vegan. You didn't sound very angry to me. But yeah, I agree. Listen, I'm not like on the train of like he's got to get out of town as quickly as possible. But yes, it's a chip. Whether it's Jonathan himself or whoever he can help bring in, that's a great opportunity for the Warriors to get better. I know there are a lot of people that are going to never, ever get off this mountain, but I do hope that this contract helps it a little bit. And what Angry Vegan was talking about is basically the idea that the Warrior franchise and mainly their head coach have a vendetta. They hate certain individuals. They don't want people on their team, even if they're really good. And so they take it out on them by lessening their minutes. We've said this a million times. Let's do it one more.
Sure.
Head coaches in professional sports are obsessed with one thing: who can help them win. The Warriors are not dumb. Do they make mistakes? Everybody does. They're human beings. But Steve is not making these decisions by himself. He's not doing it willy-nilly. If he thought Jonathan Kuminga was perfect to help him win basketball games this year, he would play him 48 minutes a night. That's a fact. So that's where we get to the part about whether it's JK's fault or not is a matter that is fuzzy. Because, yes, some of it might be decisions that he makes. He's young. He doesn't see the floor. Some of it might be out of everyone's hands. You just don't have a skill set that fits perfectly with the other skill sets we've got. But there's nothing nefarious here. That's the part that I've hated the most about this whole experience, is that we've turned it into something nefarious.
Like people, it's personal.
Yes, people have things against each other and they're holding them down.
Right.
It's silly.
And if you
absolutely
look at
ridiculous.
Steve Kerr's career, and yeah, he's been the benefactor of walking into a team that was built by Mark Jackson and ready to win, and then they won, and you had KD. He's done a lot of winning, and from what I've seen of Steve, and I've gotten a chance to talk to him about 50 times in my life, and he is about one thing, and it's winning. Yes, developing players and helping people and all the other things that go into being Steve Kerr, but I don't think that he's ever for once thought, you know what? I think Jonathan can help us, but I don't really care for him as an individual, so I'm going to keep him down. It's like Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy's toe. If Brock's good to go, he's not going to worry about Brock's toe in 2031. If Brock can play, he's going to play. If Kuminga can help the Warriors, Steve Kerr is going to play him. Now, you look out there in the market and people who make about what Kuminga makes, there are some interesting names, and if you get to January, you might have a need that Kuminga's not filling, and you might look at the trade market and you might be able to see somebody like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's a very good defensive player. He's not a high-volume shooter. He may be a guy you go out and get for Kuminga.
Well, that's what's exciting about it, you know, and in fact, like our top text right now on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, all it says is too old, and I know maybe you're referring to the Priest drop, or maybe you just feel like the Warriors are too old. Not an unfair thing. They were an old team, and their big signing was Al Horford, and he's 40. So I get that. But Jonathan is A, young, but B, an asset that could turn into fresh legs or a perfect fit or whatever at the deadline. You don't need to be an old Warrior fan to know what can happen at the deadline. The Warriors just did it last year. They just completely changed their fortunes at the deadline by making one acquisition. So keep that in mind when you're assessing what the Warriors can achieve this year. Like, there is some unknown, which is to say, if the first half goes well, they, who knows, maybe they can bring in that perfect person that really elevates them to another spot in the Western Conference standings. It's a chip. That's what Joe Lacob wanted it to be. That's now what it is. That's why I think the Warriors ended up doing a good job with this negotiation.
And the texter's not wrong, and the priest drop fits, because when you get to April, and let's say that you are in the playoffs, Steph will be 38. Jimmy will be, well, he already is, he's 36, and Draymond will be 36 at that point. Al Horford will be 66. GP2 is going to be 33 in December. So you've already got an old team. Buddy Hield is going to be 33 in December. So even beyond, you know, the big names and Al Horford, even GP2 and Buddy Hield, these are not spring chickens. So you're going to need to have young players. And if it's Kuminga, great. And if it's somebody else who can go out there and play minutes, you're going to have situations where a team with this many guys north of 30, you're going to need young legs to play and be able to play well.
888-957-9570. Steve Kerr did speak today and address a few things. We'll play them for you in just a sec. Always want to put you, though, at the front of the line. Jimmy in Bayview is next up here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Wow, guys, thank you. I'm happy to see this long process over. I think in the three really high draft picks we've had, you know, before Pajemski, I personally think we made mistakes on all of them. But like you guys just said, we've retained this as a trade chip. The perfect pick trade person for me would be Jared Allen. I don't know if that's going to happen. This is, you know, the first 50, 54 games of the year is a grind. So I think Kuminga has paid his dues, and they should give him as much time as he can get on that court. Because as you guys said, we have so many old guys. So we'll see how this works out. I'm just glad it's all over.
That's one spot where I think everybody would have the most agreement. Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank
you. Can we play some ball?
It's over, right?
Play some damn ball. Jonathan Kuminga, 2-year, $48.5 million deal. He is a Warrior. The second year is a team option. The Warriors sprinkled a few extra million in there. He'll make $22.5 million in year one. It does leave open roster spot number 15, but the Warriors do not have enough money under the second apron to sign that 15th roster spot right now. The rumor is Seth Curry, but it'll take 14 games into the season, November 15th, before they can do that.
Yep.
And Al Horford and De'Anthony Melton and GP2 and Will Richard are all official. They're on.
Yep.
They're on. They're in. Let's ride.
You got 14. You got Pat Spencer on a two-way, and Jarrett Allen, as much as that's a great name and a great idea, I don't think that Cleveland, a team that is right in a championship window, and he's making only $20 million this year. He's got three more years of team control, so that might be a little pricey, but throw the names, and we're all going to throw the names until January when Kuminga actually can be traded. But in the meantime, let's see this work. And I do believe that Steve Kerr and his cadre of coaches, they've already worked on what they think can work combination-wise with Kuminga and Jimmy. We know that Kuminga and Steph can work. Kuminga, Draymond, and Steph can work. It's all about the five-man combos, and I'm hearing Steve Kerr right now in my head talking about who can play with whom, having enough shooting out there. I think that Seth Curry eventually becomes an interesting part of this, a guy who can shoot, but he can shoot. So you start to figure out who can play with whom, and I do think that they can find a role for Kuminga.
He'll play. There's no question he'll play. Can they find a role for Kuminga? Can he start doing some of the things they want him to do better?
Well, he's got to play 30 minutes if you want him to rebound. We all know that.
By the way, it's not, I know, like the popular, rebound, defend, play hard. I think Jonathan plays hard. I don't think he loafs it out there. This is very much along the lines, I know this for a fact. The Warriors would like the decision-making to be a little sharper. They would like him to see the floor. They would like him to be a little less focused on scoring the basketball when it goes to his hands. There's a rotation. There's cutting. There's passing. There's movement going on. There's a pecking order. I get it. It's difficult to figure out sometimes. And he's 22. But they have not always loved the way that he makes decisions in those moments. And they would like that to change a little bit. And that's the part that he needs to do that.
Right, right.
He needs to do that.
He averaged 2.2 assists last year, which was his career high. He's at 1.8 assists per game throughout his career. So that certainly is part of it. Off-ball defense is another one, and that's where you learn the rotations, you learn the positioning, and you figure out how to do it. The athletic basketball stuff, as Guru likes to call it, the ha-ha, he's got that. He led the team in points in the paint last year. He can score. He can defend the ball. It's all the other stuff that comes into, you know, being more of a savvy, nuanced player. And you mentioned the age. He's about to turn 23 next week.
Okay, happy birthday.
That's a nice birthday present you got now.
$22.5 million.
Exactly. So I do think that no real college basketball. He played in the G League Ignite in limited high school. He moved here without his parents. So I think that there was a lot of growing up he had to do on the fly. It's not to excuse it, but all right, year five, here's the bag. Now go get better.
Bad Hombre next. Hi, Bad Hombre. What are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I hope you can hear me okay.
We got you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm hoping that they would just go ahead. I was hoping that they would trade this guy and just let him go to another team because it doesn't seem like he's wanted here. So what's the point, really? But what? I don't understand a fan base that it seems like people are just critiquing every aspect of his game. Oh, and I'm tired of hearing about IQ. I'm tired of hearing about plus minus. I think plus and minus is one of the most irrelevant stats in all of basketball. In the 98 finals, Tony Kukoc led the Bulls in plus minus. Is anybody going to tell me that Tony Kukoc was the reason the Bulls beat the Jazz in 98? So what are we really talking about here?
Well, I mean, Bad Hombre, it's not about any of those things. It's about what I just said. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not a box score baby either. I don't really care what the analytics are. I care what smart basketball people tell me, and I know the Warrior organization would like him to see the floor better and make better decisions when he's on the floor playing basketball, and they'd like him to work harder at rebounding the ball. That's what they'd like. Nobody hates him. Nobody wants him gone. I think he actually wants to be gone more than the organization wants him to be gone, but that's what the Warriors would say to you, Bad Hombre.
I understand that, but we got to think about this. Wiggins, he averaged 5 rebounds a game. JK is at 4.6. So you're telling this kid to defend the other team's best perimeter player and still get more rebounds? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I would
back at that Minnesota series.
That's not a great comp, though, Bad Hombre. Andrew Wiggins is a wing and sometimes a two guard. Jonathan Kuminga is a power forward. He's got a ton of inches on Wiggins. Like and the fact that he's averaging fewer rebounds than Wiggins, who famously won't try hard to rebound, I don't think that's a comp that gets the message across that you're trying to get across. Let me put it that way.
No, all I know is that KD and JK were the only two Warriors forwards to average 21 and 5 in a playoff series. That Minnesota series, I think he was the best player on the floor, not just for the Warriors. He was given Gobert as a player of the year, And Ant-Man to business.
And they lost all four games. Who's diving on box scores now? Right. Now you're giving 21-5. Why does that matter?
Well, for me, plus minus matters when you look at an entire season. And
yes,
he is a plus six throughout the entirety of his year. Yes, in one game or one series, we can all pick and pop and we use it for our own arguments. But when you look at a whole season and the team was basically the same with or without you, shout out you too, that to me says something.
All right, not done with this at all. 888-957-9570. Warrior fans, the deal is done. How do you feel? Two-year deal, one plus one, team option, $48.5 million for Jonathan Kuminga. John Feliciano, though, joins us next. Get on YouTube. He's a blast. He wants to come after Dibs. Let's do it. Dibs wants to go back at him. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.